The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Brewers have a lot of good to talk about tonight. They get back on track in a big way. 5-2 the final, the pitching a major storyline tonight. Tobias Myers setting a career high with 11 strikeouts. William Contreras breaking his slump. Home run the opposite field. Gary Sanchez, a mini slump. He broke it. Willy Adames joining a very exclusive club, the 30-homer and 100-RBI club in the same season. Really impressive stuff from Willy. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us, too, but the checklist goes deeper than that, Augie. Maybe the biggest thing on this list is the Brewers are still the only team in baseball to have not lost four games in a row. They stopped the losing streak at three. I know that sounds like kind of like a made-up, arbitrary thing, but as I sit here with 20 games to go, like that you've never had a four-game slide all season long. I mean, that's actually kind of insane if they can pull that off the rest of the season to not have a four-game losing streak.
I think it's amazing to have a team go this far in a season and not go through a time where they're just not playing well or things aren't going well, just stay away from a four-game loss. I think it's just amazing. Before I start, I got to say happy birthday to Rock.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't say it to him today. Rock, happy birthday. But I just want to say that I'm staying steady with my age. He's catching me every year. So happy birthday to Rock. But, you know, tonight was kind of a unique night. You know, last time we talked about the slumping offense and how it wasn't swinging the bat very well. We had to start scoring some runs and finding out what couldn't they do. There's no switch we can turn to get the team going. I want to give a lot of credit tonight to Murph. Murph did something that, you know, when I looked at the lineup tonight going in, I said, I relaxed. I said, you know what? Something's going to happen good today. When I saw Cheerio leading off, and then I looked at Contreras, Adames, Sanchez, and Hoskins in order, I said, you know what he's doing? He's getting the old guys in the lineup together. Hey, they're going to get something started. And I'll be darned if the first inning we got it started. And we scored some runs early. We were up 5-1 at one time. Sometimes as a manager, you go out and you say, what can I do to maybe get things going? What can I do to do something a little bit different? And I thought that lineup, he did this a couple of times early in the season. I think you and I had talked about it, where he's kind of grouped those guys together and the offense kind of took off a little bit. I think he went back that tonight. I want to tip my hat to Murph. I thought it was a great move. You put these veterans together, they're going to do something special. And sure enough, you get Adames doing the 30 home run. You have Sanchez breaking out of it with a good swing on it, and Contreras going the opposite way. I just think that you put those guys together, if something good is going to happen. Tonight it did.
Yeah, they beat a lefty. I mean, that's another Achilles.
Right.
This is the anti-lefty lineup with five straight righties to start the lineup tonight. And on the Willy Adames note with the 30 homers and 100 RBIs, this kind of shocked me when I looked it up. He's only the fourth National League shortstop to reach those numbers. And the first that isn't from Colorado since Ernie Banks. I mean, that's some seriously great company. Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from Troy Tulowitzki and Trevor Story, who are the two Rockies that have done it. But you and I both know different hitting environment there.
Absolutely.
Ernie Banks did it five times in the 50s and 60s. Now Willy joins that list for National League shortstops. I know we have the universal DH now. But nonetheless, and even when you played, Augie, shortstop was not a position for power. That's why this list is so short, that it's had a change in modern baseball.
Yeah, a little bit when Robin got towards when he's the MVP in 82, when you look at the home runs he hit then. But, you know, you look at what Willie's done and how he's gone about it. I thought that home run he hit tonight in that first inning, what a great swing. Mm-hmm. What a great swing on a ball away. Went up there just looking for something he could handle away. He had a lefty that he knows was not throws really, really hard, but likes to paint that outside corner, will change speeds on you. He just sat up there and waited for it, went with it, and put such a great swing on it. Contreras did the same thing.
He did.
And when you see those type things, making those adjustments at the plate, you really have to like it. But, you know, the things that Willy Adames has accomplished this year is not only playing each and every game, but being the team leader he is, the guy who walks on the field and as soon as he crosses the line, there's nothing but a smile on his face. And to go out and do what he does each and every day with this ball club is pretty special. And nobody happier than the rest of his teammates tonight when he hit that number 30.
And Adames is quietly one of the most experienced playoff players on this as the Brewers inch closer to the playoffs. We'll talk about Tobias Myers in the next segment, but first let's do some scoreboard watching here. The Phillies lost tonight. They lost to the Marlins, snapping their six-game winning streak. The Braves just lost to the Blue Jays. The Mets won their ninth in a row. The Diamondbacks lost tonight, too. So all of a sudden, things are very chaotic in the National League wildcard race. The Brewers waiting on the Dodgers result as they're just getting going tonight. They're up 6-2 in the third inning already. So assuming the Dodgers win that game, them and the Phillies will both be at 85 and 57. The Brewers at 82 and 60. So would be three games back in record, but more than that because of tiebreakers. So they're still likely in the three seed for now. The wild card race suddenly has Arizona only up by a half game for the second wild card, the Mets holding the third wild card, and the Braves on the outside looking in, one game out. Oh, by the way, the Mets and the Braves, they meet one more time in the final week of the season Atlanta, and that's going to decide the season series. So that's going to be a very stressful week for New York when they come here to Milwaukee right after that. But first, we'll talk about Tobias Myers up next. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. And reiterate your comment there, Bill Schroeder, you beat me to it. Happy birthday, Rock. I know you probably just pulled into your driveway right about now. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win. The magic number falls to 10, coupled with a Cubs shutout loss earlier today. I mean, it's getting closer and closer to looking like the Brewers might clinch the Central on the road. We don't want that, but as soon as possible, is they okay with me? I'm Dom Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Thanks for joining us. Got to get to a few texts as well. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Augie, tonight's story, I know we talked about the offense a little bit in the first, but to me, the headliner was Tobias Myers. New career high, 11 strikeouts, fastball velo touched 96 tonight. Here's a crazy stat that I just found about Tobias, including tonight. In games following a loss, after a Brewers loss, here's Tobias' line this season. This was his 12th start. He is 7-2 with a 1.84 ERA in games following a loss. That is the definition of a stopper, and Tobias Myers, out of nowhere, has become the Brewers' stopper.
And I'll tell you what, that's momentum made the next day. You know, the one thing with Tobias Myers, and I noticed it from the beginning, I kind of watched the young guy throw the ball. I really like the way he throws because he's more of a guy that he doesn't come three quarters. He comes over the top. And when you watch a guy throw with the ball over the top, a lot of guys talk, we hear so much about the science lab and the spin on the ball and how the ball comes out of your hand. There are a couple games when I watch and I watch him throw the first few pitches, I go, not quite what I like to see, what I see out of him most times. Tonight, right from the very first pitch, the first two pitches that he threw, you could tell the ball was coming out of his hand, that he got that little extra, that he was locating the ball very well. I really like that he can pitch when he comes over the top, he can pitch up in the zone, and when he needs to, he can spot the ball down in the zone. He did that tonight excellently. He's changing speeds on those pitches, using his secondary pitches very well. But the one thing I really watch about is how that ball comes out of his hands. Today, it came out crisp. It looked like it had a lot of life right out of his hand. And a lot of times they say, what is a velocity? How do you pick a velocity on a guy? How do you see velocity on a guy as a hitter swings? When a hitter swings and it seems like when he gets on top, they're always behind, that means that ball has that little extra jump on the end, has a little extra spin, has a little bit better life. And tonight he had that. He had that great life on it. And, you know, whether it was after a loss or whatever it was, tonight I thought it was a game where I think he meant something to him. He wanted to come out. We're getting close to the postseason. He wants to make a dent in this postseason. He wants to be a part of this ball club. And I thought he threw the ball very well.
Yeah, the fastball was the focal point for me, too. And we can measure that at something called induced vertical break, where it's just basically how much is the ball not dropping compared to what it is elsewhere. Like, average is about 15 inches.
Uh-huh.
He had 23 pitches that were at least 20 inches of induced vertical break, meaning you could tell 5 inches above, a half a foot on some of them, meaning
you could really tell it, Dom.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, for layman's terms, hitter thinks a fastball is going to drop to his barrel, he swings under it. I mean, we saw 20 swings and misses tonight. That's going to what you're talking about, how much deception and how difficult it was to pick up the life on that heater.
And that's the ball that you throw, that's two ways you look at that pitch. That's the ball that's a little bit above the waist, he throws and it's got that little hop on it, that you see, they swing and you go, man, how could they miss that? Mm-hmm. But they swing right under it, and he's got that little life on it, and then all of a sudden he'll show you up, and bang, right down in that outside corner. Those are the things you were just talking about, and what I was kind of talking about, getting that extra life on the ball. I thought tonight, right from the beginning, I saw he had that. I saw the way he located the ball. He struck somebody out when he's walking off the mound, and he had a smile on his face. And I said, when he walked off the mound, I was watching it on TV, and I said, you know what? You deserve to have a smile when you're throwing the ball tonight. He really threw the ball well.
It was impressive. 11 strikeouts matches a season high for any Brewer pitcher this year. Him and Freddie Peralta. Freddie's done it twice. The only pitchers this year to have 11 or more strikeouts in a game. Furthermore, I mean, he only allowed one run, and I know we look at the home run numbers. He's allowed 17 homers this year. Mm-hmm. Then you dive a little bit deeper. 14 of those 17 homers are solo shots. I mean, you're not going to really lose sleep over that.
That's,
I mean, you never want to give up homers. I know that. But it's like when you realize, okay, well, 14 of them are solo, that means he's doing something else right, and he's not allowing base runners.
That's right, and he's challenging guys, and when he's supposed to challenge them. And, yeah, he did go up home run. That happens. You know, you get the ball up, and sometimes it just doesn't have that. But I thought tonight the ball was coming out of us crisp, and he, like you said, you saw the difference in the way the ball was moving and there's velocity on it. I thought he threw the ball very well, and he looked like in control from the minute he walked on the mound. The first few pitches I saw, I said, wow, this is going to be a special night, and he really had one.
The only other stat I had is that there was only one 2-strike hit today against Tobias Myers. If you got the 2 strikes, essentially, you were dead to rights. And that's the sign of a guy that, A, had command.
That's right.
Because he's getting the 2 strikes. And, B, his secondaries are still working out well, as influenced by the 20 whiff number that we were talking about, too. But Tobias, here we are again. Look, there's 20 games to go. You think about it with a 5.5-man rotation that the Brewers are rolling right now. You've probably got definitely three, maybe four more starts.
That's right.
And I don't know what else we need to see from Tobias, but quite frankly, I mean, since the Brewers are likely bound for a 3-game series at this point, he's probably starting one of them at this point.
Oh, you have to think so. You would have to, just the way he throws the ball, and you just said it. You know, you come in after a loss, he's got a 1.89 ERA. You look at his ERA. But, you know, there's not very many times. I think you could look at all the starts he had, Dom, and you could look at probably less than a handful that goes out there where he didn't look like he was in command. And I think that's what's so unique about him. He's so positive. He understands where his positives and negatives are. He knows what he has to do on the mound to be successful, and he goes out and does it. And I think he puts a lot of thought into it. I think between starts, he's become a good student of the game, and he sees what other guys do, and he goes out and he says, if those guys do it, here's how I have to do it. That's my style. And I think of a young man coming into the major leagues like he has this year and accomplish what he has done, I think he's just heads and tails above a lot of young pitchers who come in and is able to go out and command a game like he does.
I mean, there aren't many rookies that can do what he's done. Now, I know there's a really good rookie, and Pat Murphy talked about this in his postgame show. You'll hear it a little bit later on here on the program about rookie arms that can do what he's doing right now. But, I mean, given the guy that we saw in April and how he got shelled by the Yankees,
that's right,
and we're worried about him, and then he wasn't so great in May, and then to just flip a switch in June, and he talked about it, that he played catch in the park that day just to keep his arm fresh on an off day, and it just felt like COVID again. And kudos to this front office and the pitching development, and a text here crediting Chris Hook too, because this dude was 1-15 in AA a couple of years ago, and the Brewers said, nope, we want that guy, because they see something in there. The scouting sees it, the player development sees it, and Chris Hook is able to unlock that here. Jim Henderson, Walker McKinvin, This isn't just a one guy thing. To see a guy that's 1-15 in the minor league saying, we want that guy to be here now, that is an example of why the Brewers are in the position they're in right
and
now.
And I think what you told you, you know, you mentioned Chris Look, Jim Anderson, McKeven. These guys invest in relationships. They understand that, you know what, I can invest in a relationship with that individual to see who he is and what he is like. Where are his limitations? What can I say to him that, you know, that strikes a tone? And I think that's one thing I really appreciate since Chris Look has come. I've known Chris since he's back in A-ball. I was doing timber rattler games, and I'd go up there and I'd walk. He'd say, come on, well, let's go watch this guy in the pen. And we watch these young kids pitch, and he would say things. And right then you could tell that it was a little different. It was a little different than just saying, hey, get to a balance point and throw the ball, get over the top, stay on top of the ball, cut the ball off, short stride the ball, all those things. It was more of a saying, hey, you know what? Here's what you can do to help you. Here's an understanding. Here's what I've seen you done. And you could really see that relationship he built with that. And I think Jim Henderson, being a bullpen guy, understands that, been in the big leagues a long time. Boy, you put those two guys together, I think it's pretty special.
Very special indeed. That text was from Jeff from Elkhorn. Appreciate that. This one from Doug. This is the team I've watched all summer. They reappeared, and I think Ortiz will be a 20-homer, 85 RBI guy next year. What a rookie year. We'll talk about some of the maybe unsung heroes of this game and some underlying stuff going down the box score in the next segment. Brewers win 5-2 over the Rockies. They've leveled the series a game apiece, and the magic number is 10 right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Continuing on with the post-game show, going to the top of the hour, I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher, is here as well. Brewers win 5-2 tonight. Let's go down the box score a little bit here and see some other performances that we want to point out. Mentioned Willie's home run being 30 homers, 100 RBIs now. Gary going back-to-back with him. He went 1-for-3 tonight. William, a couple of hits, breaking an 0-for-20 Schneid. Jackson Churio came about a foot away from joining the 2020 club.
Right.
Instead, it was a double. But let's go to Joey Ortiz here. An RBI double down a left field line. He also made a couple of great plays defensively, and Doug pointed out what a great rookie year it has been for Joey Ortiz. I know he was ridiculously hot in May, and he has cooled off quite a bit since then, but then you remember the dude's a rookie, and he barely played like 30 plate appearances last year in the big leagues. Joey Ortiz showing his glove, showing what he's capable of, and if he can get warm here again, that's another luxury for the Brewers to be an everyday third baseman, pull a double down the left field line. He doesn't need to hit homers, but he's got a chance to maybe put together 12 homers and a 20 stolen base season, and shoot, that's quite the starting off point for the rest of his career.
Yeah, he's been playing very well. I tell you, on the defensive side, you can't be any more impressed than what he can do at third base there. And you know, he came over to third base from shortstop, really learning the position, and just has done a fantastic job. But I really like his at bats. I think when you know it's like he goes up there like a workman. He's going to go up there each and every time, and he's going to do everything he can to stay in the count, to give the best at bat that he can. I think that's one thing I really appreciate about a young player going up there and saying, you know, he's hit hot, and then he went into a little bit of a slump, and he didn't let it get to him. He still tried to go up there and give you that good at-bat. Go deep in counts. Hit the ball, hit some good pitches, hit him foul, stay in the count a little bit. Maybe he didn't get a hit every time, but he stayed in the count. And lately he's been getting a hit here and there. He got a couple of big two-out hits the other day, and he's really doing a nice job.
Really excited for what the rest of the year can go for him. An underrated piece before we get to maybe one of the best pieces of the night was Jared Kanek going two innings tonight. I thought was sneaky important for him. Yes, he allowed a solo homer, but I don't imagine he's going to need to go multiple innings in the postseason. But Jared Kanek's a guy that, you know, he's had forearm irritation earlier in the year. He's still pumping 97, so that's encouraging. And the Brewers can get really creative with his role come postseason time because he can get both righties and lefties out. I think the biggest luxury that the Brewers have is they have multiple lefties that don't have a platoon, meaning, you know, Kane can get both righties and lefties out. Hudson can get both righties and lefties out. Ashby can get both righties and lefties out. That's a luxury that most teams only get like one guy that's like that. The Brewers have three that are likely on their postseason.
Yeah, roster. And I like the little bit different styles when you get them. You know, you look at Ashby and Hall. They got there over that top. They're the three quarter, and they have the good breaking ball, and they throw that ball down in. They got a good fastball that runs and sinks, and they can do those things. You look at Hudson. He comes from the low three quarters, and he comes out from the wide side, and he's got that more of a slurve style pitch that he can throw, and he can throw it for strikes. Koenig's a little bit different. He comes from the side of the mound. He comes from the left side of the mound, which is on the far left side. A little bit like when you get guys that you want to say a left-hander might pitch on the right side or the left side of the mound. He's way on the right side of the mound, and he throws across his body, gives you a different look. He throws that low three-quarter, but it gives you a different movement on the ball. And when you talk about lefties and getting differences, it's not so much how they throw the ball. It's the difference in the look of the pitch that comes in. And when he throws the ball has just a little bit different look. It's got a little bit of a tail. He sinks it, throws across his body, gives you a little bit different look. He's a tall kid, so it does look a little bit different. And you take him and Hudson, and you take Ashby and Hall and those guys. There's a difference in what you see. And when anytime you can bring pitchers in the mound, they look a little bit different. That's going to be exciting for you because you know what? Those hitters aren't adjusting to that. They have to readjust.
I agree. So I'm excited to see what Koenig does here in these final 3 weeks. We got to talk about Devin Williams, though, because 11 pitches, 9 of them were strikes, 7 swings, 7 whiffs. That was as dominant we've seen Devin all year long. That looked like 2021, 2022 Devin Williams.
You know, I got here just as he was coming in out of the bullpen, and I was watching him come in, and he came in, and he got on the mound, and I watched the first pitch. I said, wow, what's going on tonight? And he was Devin. I'm not going to say anything else. He was Devin. He was out there, and he just dominated. You know, it's so fun to see when he came out. Remember when he came out against the Dodgers, and he just dominated the Dodgers?
That's what it looked like.
Tonight was that same night. That was so good to see because he went through a little bit of transition where he was trying to find his pitches a little bit and trying to get the pitches exactly what he wanted. Tonight, he didn't have to worry about that. He just came out, and then he just did it. It was Devin.
And reminder, he warmed up yesterday, didn't get into the game because the Brewers lost. Tonight was his fifth game in the last 8 days, You would have no idea. You would think he was as fresh as ever. Now, I'm not saying push it, keep throwing him out there. No. I mean, let's make sure this dude is good to go for October, but man, like the comeback, as strong as he's come back from the back injury, again, it was a non-surgical back injury. It was just rest and rehab for him, which maybe is a little bit of good news given he's hitting 97 now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And that rest and rehab and the core strength that he now has has given a new bit of life to his fastball because, yes, he had 2 strikeouts on the change. The first one on the fastball command has been so impressive.
Oh, just location. And today he was spot on with location. That's what you like to see when he's back there and he's nice and relaxed. And I remember I don't remember who was listening to on television or on the radio saying that the ball comes out of his hand so easy. Mm. He just got that good. And it looked like tonight, boy, he looked comfortable. He looked like the ball was coming out. He was locating it great. And I just thought he threw the ball excellent.
So Freddie Peralta takes the ball tomorrow as the Brewers look for a series win now against the Rockies and to make it a happy flight on to San Francisco for a tough road trip on the way. When I look at it for Freddie, again, same thing as Tobias, where, hey man, you've probably only got 4 more starts at most down the stretch here, and look, Freddie's going to be pitching and starting a postseason game, and he's been better in the second half. He's pitching to a little bit more contact, but now he's facing an aggressive, a very young, a very, at times, over-eager offense. I mean, they've struck out 75 times over their last 5 games. I mean, that's an insane number to think about. For Freddie, he loves facing the Rockies. Some of his best career games
have been
against the Rockies. I'm excited to see what he can do tomorrow.
I think tomorrow's a big day for Freddie. I think, you know, I think this is a club when you can come in and demonstrate that you can throw your secondary pitches. And we still call him Fastball Freddie, and I've said that day in and day out. But if you can come in really dominate with that, show him that you can use your secondary pitches, that fastball is just that much more effective. You saw it a little bit tonight with Tobias Myers. When he got the other stuff over, that fastball is just really effective. And Freddie's the same way. So I think tomorrow's going to be an interesting day for Freddie Peralta against the Colorado Rockies. But he's going up against a pretty good pitcher. Kyle Freeland is just pretty good. He's a pretty good pitcher. He's kind of guy. He's a little bit different than the guy they showed tonight. He'll come and he'll challenge the Brewer hitters. So I think it's going to be a fun day for the Brewers to see what they do against a lefty. But also, I think even more importantly, I think it'd be a nice day for Freddie to come out and really have a good day.
Here's the stat for you here, and this includes one a couple clunkers that he had in 2019 in the Juice Bowl year against the Rockies. But in Freddie's career, 6 career appearances, 5 of them starts against Colorado, 29 innings, 48 strikeouts. That's a 14.9 strikeouts per 9 rate with a 3.41 ERA. So I'm excited. And, of course, his Major League debut came against the Rockies when he struck out 13, which is still
his
career high.
That was pretty special. I watched that game. I did that game on radio, and it was pretty special. But, again, tomorrow it's just about him going out and demonstrating that he can get those secondary pitches over and then explode with the fastball. And I think he'll have a good day.
I agree. Jerry Augustine joining us here on WTMJ. Appreciate your time as always, Augie, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Well, let's come out and let's win this series and then move on from there.
And then see how much longer it'll take to clinch the Central. Jerry Augustine here joining us on the program. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.